professional history had rendered her, now in her late 30s, immune to the manipulations of men. She no longer nurtured hopes, or at least she would never admit to anyone that she nurtured hopes, that somewhere out there was the perfect partner for her. So, while recognizing that Ben Milne was attractive, she also recognized that he was not the kind of man to be trusted further than she could throw him. In fact, she thought he was probably a bit of a prick. Nor was she taken in by his assurances that his television program would turn around the fortunes of the Admiral Bing. Her job as bar manager made Amy Walpole all too aware of the dwindling profits of the business. Winters were always bad, but none had been so bad as the one that was currently extending its stay into March. All the factors gloomily detailed by the newspapers, general belt tightening, ever more expensive fuel, and the availability of cheap beer and spirits in the supermarkets, were having their effects on the Admiral Bing. The rest of the staff weren't aware of how close to the wind they were sailing. But Amy was kept up to date with bad news by the pub's owner. Geoffrey Horatio Fitzsimmons, landlord of the Admiral Bing, must have been well into his 70s. He was never referred to, incidentally, by his full name. The closest anyone got to that was calling him Fitz. But more often, and perhaps inevitably, he was known as the Admiral. Certainly, that was how all of the pub staff referred to him. His bluff manner and drawling vowels, together with his silver hair and moustache, his uniform of gold-buttoned blazer and cravat, gave the impression of a patrician public school background. But nobody in Crabwell actually knew much about his past. There was also a common assumption, from the way he talked, that at one stage in his life he had been extremely rich. Some of the staff, gossiping in the kitchen, believed he still was. Well, if that were the case, Amy Walpole knew his wealth didn't come from the Admiral Bing. She was too close to the account books to believe that. And from conversations with the Admiral, she recognized how genuinely anxious he was about the future of his business. The idea that Geoffrey Horatio Fitzsimmons had a vast fortune stashed away somewhere and wasn't using it to bail the pub out just didn't make sense. Apart from anything else, although the kitchen and casual bar staff had received their regular stipend, Amy Walpole herself had not been paid for 3 weeks. The Admiral kept saying he would regularize the situation soon. But she knew that the money just wasn't there. Amy liked her boss. He could be infuriating, though. He was one of those alcoholics who never appears drunk, but is just permanently topping himself up. His constant tipple was red wine, preferably something robust and French. He didn't believe in all this new-fangled New World rubbish. But in the evenings, he would also get a long way down a bottle of malt whiskey. Lafroig was his favourite. What effect his lifetime's drinking had had on his health, Amy didn't like to speculate. The Admiral himself always said that if he gave up the booze, his body would drop dead from sheer shock. He was also, by her standards, something of a Luddite. He didn't even use a mobile phone. "When I'm at home, people can ring me on the pub number," he always said. "And when I'm not at home, they can leave me a message. No telephone call is so important that it can't wait a couple of hours." Fitz's dinosaur attitudes applied to other technology as well. Amy had had to argue for a long time to persuade him to upgrade his old barroom till to a more user-friendly electronic model. And her strongest powers of persuasion were also required to get him to buy a laptop and printer for the pub's tiny office. But the idea of touching either of the devices was anathema to him. Fitz, Amy often thought, would have been happiest living in the 1950s, before any of this troubling technology had become available to the general public. Whether he had ever been married or in any kind of permanent relationship, no one knew. Certainly, there had been no romantic...